Good morning, everyone. Hope your Wednesday is going good so far. And we will start with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for this time we get to look at your word and that you can help me to find something new to pass on to everyone. And, we can all study together your word. Learn more as we go along. You bless this time together. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Sorry. Oh. Just got a huge tickle in my throat in the middle of that prayer. Sometimes I wonder if the man of perdition, as they say, or a good old friend of ours, Satan, somehow gets involved many times when you want to talk about God. I didn't put my little banner up. So today we're continuing through, just finishing up 18, where the trials kind of happen, but Pilate continues. Jesus is back with Pilate. We're kind of going into chapter 19 now. This is still. This would be like crucifixion day morning. This is like first thing in the morning, like before 6 o'clock, right around 6 a.m. And we've always gone through the Jewish trials, and we've gone through Pilate's first trial and Herod's mini trial there. And we're kind of back at Pilate again, and he's continuing, and he's just not having a good feeling about this. And his own wife actually brings something up. I think he's really nervous about it. But he's got the pressure of the crowds to deal with next. So that's where we are today. So starting in John 18:37, I'm just kind of reviewing a couple of verses that we went over yesterday. And Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end I born. For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And I found a neat reference about kind of picking this verse apart a little bit. And first we'll kind of pick on the king portion. You see over in 1 Corinthians, a reference to that, 15:25, and this is Paul talking about Jesus, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. And on that same verse, it kind of talks about his mission. To this end was I born. Now his mission, for this cause came I into the world. And so we see that over in 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And again, that's Paul. Talking to his young protege Timothy. Then last but not least, that I should bear witness unto the truth. And here we see in 1 Timothy also 6:13, a great reference about that. And Paul again saying, I give thee charge in the sight of God, Christ Jesus before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. So there's the true witness of Jesus, confirmed by Paul to Timothy. So I thought I'd bring those things up. Now, John 18:38, Pilate said unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find no fault in him. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you money at a At the Passover, will you therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? And they cried, then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. I'll go into a little more detail on this whole scenario in Matthew, picking it up at verse chapter 27, verse 15. Now at that feast, the governor was wont disputes under the people or prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? And for he knew that for envy that they had delivered him. When he sat down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. I get a vision on this verse. I think I've seen it in movies before, where you got these priests going around inside the crowd saying, yell, crucify him, yell, crucify him. You know, kind of get the crowd all riled up, not even really knowing that they even knew what they were talking about. Kind of reminds me of what happened recently a few weeks ago. I think a few people just got a whole bunch of people to do something they didn't even know what was going on in our own country here. I think most people know what I'm talking about. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will be that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. And Pilate said unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all said unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, Let him be crucified. Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a turmoil was made. He took water and washed his hands, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. And then answered all the people and said, His blood would be on us and on our children. Now, some people have used that as for very evil reasons. Then released he Barabbas unto them. He has scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. I want to comment once on that verse 25, though, that if you really understand what's going on here, we all put him on that tree. And that, without his salvation on the cross, that none of us would have been saved. So I like to think that the blood is on all of us. That, and thank God for that, because as we know in John 3:16, the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So now the same area in Mark, it's in 15, starting in verse 6. Now at that feast he released unto them one prisoner whosoever they desired, and there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, committed murder and the insurrection. And the multitude crying aloud began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate asked them, saying, Will you then that I release unto you the king of the Jews? And for he knew that the chief priests had delivered him of envy. Mark is pretty close to exactly what Matthew said. But the chief priest moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said, What will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the king of the Jews? And they cried out again, Crucify him. And Pilate said unto them, Why? What evil hath he done? And they cried out more exceedingly, Crucify. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. And then when go over to Luke here, and Pilate, when he had the chief priests and the rulers of the people, said unto them, You have brought this man to me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I have examined him before you, have found no fault in this man touching those things wherein you accused. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. And they cried out at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, Why, what evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. So now we get back into John. And so now we're in chapter 1. 19. This kind of starts out with the scourging. And then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers made a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put it on him a purple robe. And said, Hail, King of the Jews, and they smote him with their hands. They're mocking him, in other words. And Pilate therefore went forth again and said, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. This is after the scourging. And then came Jesus forth, wearing a crown of thorns and a purple robe, and Pilate said to him, Behold, the man. And the chief priests, therefore, and the officers saw him, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate said unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. And the Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. I thought I'd show you that rule is actually written in Leviticus 24:16. And he that blasphemed the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death, and all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well the stranger as he that is born in the land. When he blasphemed the name of the Lord, he shall be put to death. So obviously they didn't believe that he was the Lord, which to this day I'll never figure that part out. But it's amazing how people can get deceived so easily. Back to John. When Pilate therefore heard this saying, he was the more afraid. And went again into the judgment hall and said unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. That's actually a prophecy fulfilled. It's over in Isaiah 53:7-8. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgressions of my people, which he is stricken. That's basically stating exactly what he came to do, to die for us. Back to John 19:10. Then said Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have the power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? And Jesus comes back and says, Thou couldest have no power at all against me except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greatest sin. We see this reflected in Psalms 62:11. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. And that's an important thing to remember even today. Some of us might be a little confused as to what's going on. But God rises up kings and brings down kings. And that, I think, pretty much the some of the things we're seeing now are foretold. Excuse me one second. Back over to John, 19:12. Henceforth, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. We also see this reference over in Deuteronomy 1:17. Ye shall not respect persons in judgment. Ye shall hear the small as well as the great. Ye shall not be afraid of the face of man, for the judgment is God's. And the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. It's basically saying that when you judge someone, you need to judge someone fairly, not based on their position or who they are or what they are. Of course, in this case, they didn't do that. Over in 1 Samuel 15:24, and Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. That's basically what Pilate is doing here. He's in fear of the people, so he's listening to the people rather than listening to his own wisdom in the matter. And also over in Isaiah 51:12, I He that comforteth you, who art thou, that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man which shall be made as grass. Another indication of this time frame. Yeah, and also in Acts 4:19. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. That was when Peter and John were getting ready to be judged based on them speaking about Jesus Christ. And they were basically being bold and saying that we have to speak what we know. Great verses. John 19:14, and it was the preparation of the Passover, about the sixth hour. And he said unto the Jews, Behold your king. But they cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said unto them, Shall I crucify your king? And the chief priest answered, We have no king, Caesar. By reference, that particular sixth hour is not typical of what you hear the Jewish say. Remember the Romans saying that. And so that would be 6 a.m. A lot of times in the Jewish, whenever they say the sixth hour, it's a sixth hour from 6 a.m. Be like noon, and it's not noon yet. And delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. I'm going to shoot over to Matthew. This is part of the scourging. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. I thought I'd show you the next picture in that series I was showing you. Kind of depicts this a little bit. As you can see here, this is starting now. This picture is starting this particular time. See that they the crown of thorns on his head, and that they're hitting him with it. What was it? The reed. He took the reed and smote him on the head. So you can see that in that picture. This picture goes further than that. We'll talk more about it tomorrow. After that, they had mocked him, and they took the robe off of him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. We'll see this also over in Mark. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Perithium, and they called together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple and plaited a crown of thorns and put it upon his head. And he began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him on the head with a reed and did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. Trust me, that's not the kind of worship. That's a mocking kind of worship. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put his own clothes on and led him up out to be crucified, out to crucify him. And kind of today on a sad note, but basically this is where we're going to get into the period of time where they're going to, he's going to bear his cross and head up to Golgotha to be crucified. And we'll pick that up tomorrow, and we'll basically go through the day of the crucifixion tomorrow. And on that note, I know I'm not leaving on a very positive note, but I think the important thing to remember is that this was necessary for God to be able to offer us the kingdom of heaven. And that, so as I've heard some commentaries say, that the crucifixion was actually an achievement. He satisfied like well over 300 prophecies just in this week to end this reign of Satan as the sole proprietor of the planet Earth. And that until this happened, Jesus couldn't take control of the Earth back, or at least become heir to the Earth. So this is a very pivotal moment coming up here. So on that note, and with a word of prayer, dear Heavenly Father, oh Father, it's I know it was a rough day for Jesus and for you, and that but God, we are so thankful that you were able to do this, and it just shows your love for us, Lord, and that we really appreciate it so much, so thankful. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Sad time, but happy time, because look what we look forward to soon coming. So I'll talk to you again tomorrow, and I hope everybody has a great day. Love y'all, and we'll see you later.